So we're in Acts 14 this morning, picking right up. Last week we finished up Acts chapter 13, and again the quick review of Acts 13 is that is the first chapter in the book of Acts that Paul preaches the gospel of Christ. Of course, Paul was saved in Acts chapter 9, but the first time we see him preach is Acts chapter 13. And just to go back and make one quick highlight on Acts 13, when he stands up to start preaching, and in chapter 16, all right, verse 16 of chapter 13, it says, "Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience." And he starts preaching. And through verse 37, what he preaches is basically identical to what Peter would have preached in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3. Where it differs is where he picks up in verse 38. And let's just go back and review that. So in verse 37, he concluded by saying, "But he whom God raised up again, saw no corruption." Now, Peter stopped there. Paul continues there. Paul says in verse 38, and this is the first time this is preached in your Bible, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man," the Lord Jesus Christ, "through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins." First time you see that in your Bible. "And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Beware there. Okay, so right there he's just preached the gospel of Christ, if you will. And again, first time preached. All right. In chapter 14 now, we'll pick up our study. Just wanted to go back, make sure we're all clear on that.
Did we get through all of 13?
We did last week.
We weren't here.
Oh, yeah, okay. You guys were in Dallas.
Okay, sorry.
We did have study even though you weren't here.
Sorry about that.
In case you didn't hear him.
Well, what we didn't have was the video, so we've got to redo it, I guess. Chapter 14, verse 1. "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews." Quick phrase right there. Once again, this will be a pattern between here and Acts 20. Every city that Paul goes to, he'll go to the synagogue first, just like he does right here. "So they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews."
This is Paul and Barnabas?
This is Paul and Barnabas. That is correct. Back from verse 50. In the middle of the verse there, "and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. But they," Paul and Barnabas, "shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in Iconium that they," Paul and Barnabas, "went both together into the synagogue of the Jews. And so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews," notice, and so here again is the second part of this pattern. So Paul always goes to the synagogue, and he stays in the synagogue until the Jews blaspheme. And as it says in verse 2, "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren." And we're going to see this time and time again in the next five chapters of the book of Acts. Verse 3, "Long time therefore abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands." Alright, so Paul and Barnabas are doing signs and wonders. Remember, never get your doctrine following what you see Paul do in the book of Acts. Get your doctrine from what Paul writes in Romans to Philemon. So even though six of those books were written during the book of Acts, okay, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, remember, Paul even says in Corinthians that he became basically, to all people, he became whatever they were. "To the Jews, I became a Jew." Remember, he was going to the Jew first through the book of Acts. Therefore, in verse 3, when he has the signs and wonders, okay, it's because the Jews required a sign. All right? as in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Jews require a sign, but the Greeks seek after wisdom. So don't let it confuse you that Paul's doing signs and wonders. They do stop. They do end at the end of the book of Acts. Okay, the book of Acts is a transitional book. So don't worry about if you see Paul doing some things that he later writes against, such as signs and wonders. They end. He tells us that in 1 Corinthians 13. Okay, that the signs will end. Tongues will end. Okay, all of these things that were for Israel, at first Paul is going to Israel. Okay? Questions on that? We need to go into any depth on that? Which we can do. Okay? And if there's questions at the end, please go ahead and ask them. Verse 4. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And of course those apostles would be Paul and Barnabas, or you know, Paul being an apostle of Christ. Okay? When there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. And they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe. And these are more churches of Galatia. All of these are the churches that are in cities that the book of Galatians was written to. The book of Galatians, the first book that Paul wrote. Cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Cripple from his mother's womb. Anybody remember another story in the book of Acts like that? Remember back in Acts chapter 4, when Peter and John were going into the temple, and there was that man that was about 40, and he was lame from his mother's womb, from birth. Right? And that's why it's such a miracle when he gets healed. And we see basically the same thing happen here. So verse 9, the same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, that gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. I'm going to call that Mercurius. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do ye these things? Why also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities, these idols, okay, unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Just before we go past this, back up to verse 11 there. So in verse 10, Paul, you know, just speaks to the man, say with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet, and he leaped and walked. Just by the words of Paul, this man is healed. So remember, the signs and wonders, sign to Israel. So the man's healed. And what did the people, verse 11, and when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices. People always wanted to see these things, especially the Jews. The Jews required a sign, right? And people today, they want to see proof so often. And don't worry about what you see, all right? And that's where we can be led astray. You know, just be careful of having a need to see things first. All right, I need to see a sign. You know, how many times do you hear people say that? You know, I need to see a sign. Yeah, it's a sign. It's a sign. I got my oldest daughter is famous for saying that. You know, it's a sign. It's a sign. But yeah, exactly.
You get it from that redneck Joker, dude, what's his name?
Here's your sign.
Here's your sign.
Oh, yeah. Good one, too. So anyway, just, you know, these people were trusting in their sight, what they saw. All right, coming back now where we left off. So verse 17. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. Remember, in the book of Acts, the phrase, the people, always a reference to the Jews. The people, the Jews. Verse 19, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. We're going to see a few more cities later on in this chapter 14 that are cities that the book of Galatians is written to. But this, if you'll notice what's happening right here in 14, even back there at the beginning of the chapter, they're basically run out of a city. And that happens to Paul quite often. He's pretty consistent. He gets run out of the city, but the Jewish leaders follow him where he goes, or many of the Jewish sect follow him, and they stir up trouble everywhere he goes. Think about that when you read the book of Galatians.
And it says in here, Paul, let's see, having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city. Is that drug?
Drug, absolutely. Yep, and we're gonna talk a little bit more about that, as a matter of fact. Okay? But right now, I just want to establish the fact that this is a pattern we see throughout. Paul stays somewhere. Paul comes into a city. Some of these things will be repeated, but he comes to a city. He goes to the synagogue first. Then the Jews blaspheme or stir up trouble that releases him to go to the Gentiles. Remember, in the six Acts epistles, it's to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Okay, then at some point, he leaves the city. But these early chapters, each time, Jews are going to follow him wherever he's going. Matter of fact, hold your hand here. Come to Galatians. So after Acts is Romans and Corinthians and Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. The very first book that Paul writes that becomes Scripture is the book of Galatians. Chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that ye... So I'm in Galatians chapter 1, verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Right? They come right behind, and after he leaves, they're believing these guys that come back in after him. And he says, I marvel that you're turned to another gospel. Why would you do that? If you come down to chapter 3, verse 1. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus forth hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Okay? All these people that came behind him are trying to put these people back under works. Okay, Paul went, preached the gospel of Christ, salvation by grace alone, salvation by faith without the deeds of the law. Let's back up, Galatians 2, verse 16. This is a great verse. So Galatians 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. That is such a great verse. You know, that's one to commit to memory. You know, if you could only do 10 verses, that's probably one of the 10 right there. That's a great, great verse. And how many people are trying to be justified by works today? You know, you wonder how in the world would they do that back then? Well, 2,000 years later, we're doing the same thing. I think I was sharing with you earlier before we turned the camera on when I was even talking with my youngest daughter on the way to the airport today to bring her back. That I wouldn't have told you were justified by the deeds of the law, but that's what I was trusting in for my salvation even when I got married. I told Kim I was a saved man, but I was trusting in works. I wouldn't have told you to trust in works for salvation, but that's what I was trusting in. By the fact that I never had put my faith and trust in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, shedding His blood to pay the penalty for my sins, being buried and raised again for my justification. There had never been a moment in time when I trusted in that and that alone, and called upon the Lord to save me right then and there. And I did that night, July 5th, 1983, and I wanted to make sure she knew that today.
I think it would be amazing. We were talking the other day about, about those Jews back there in Matthew, uh-huh. where Jesus is saying, they're saying, well, we got our parent, Abraham.
Yes.
We got our father, Abraham, to count on. We're going to get through this. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
And what's he saying? You are of your father, the devil.
The devil. That's right.
And, you know, it's just amazing to probably sit back and think how many children, because this is how they're raised. They're raised in the religion or in the Christianity or whatever. They actually are basing their salvation prior to their salvation
yeah.
on their parents.
Interesting point, Brian. Yeah.
On their parents.
And that does work for a while until a certain age, until they're old enough to discern
to comprehend.
The gospel. Comprehend is a better word. Until they can comprehend what the gospel really is and what it's not. Until then, it is the parents. Back to Galatians chapter 5. Once again, we're going to see where they go back under bondage. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. And Paul tells them, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled," what's the next word? Again. In Galatians 5, 1. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The yoke of bondage, well, in the context, it's the law. At the end of chapter 4 there, it's all about the law. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." All right, so this is, Acts 14 is where this pattern starts, where a group of Jews follow right in behind Paul every city, and it's like they're going to come back in, and all the people that got converted by the gospel of Christ are going to pull them back into bondage. Now, I wonder if there's any corollaries we could make today like that. Mm-hmm. Like you have a friend that's part of XYZ denomination, you share with them the clear gospel of Christ, they see it, and they get saved. And for that matter, maybe they even want to just come to a coffee house and study the Bible. And so many, so I'm going to say the larger the church is too, it seems, the more it's all about building the church and building that denomination bigger and bigger. And what happens when that person sees the gospel of Christ, instead of them saying, "Man, praise the Lord, that person got saved," it's, "Well, wait a minute, you got to come back in." They got to pull them back into the flock. And especially when the offering plates are passed, I guess. It's, you know, there can be big business in religion. But it seems to be more about building the church, that denomination, than the church, which is the body of Christ. Man, somebody gets saved. And I'm going to just make an example out of there. This will be far-fetched, of course. But if George here, if we had Scott Mitchell come here, you know, so Scott Mitchell is a grace preacher, preaches the gospel of Christ as clearly as can be, He has a church down in Seguin. Thank you. So if he were to come here and be a guest preacher one day, and one of you heard him preach the gospel, and you got, and George, I'm using somebody as an example. No, I use Joe, this guy, Joe.
Genuine Joe.
So it's not a genuine Joe. And Joe hears Scott preach the gospel, and he gets saved. All right, now we should all be saying, praise the Lord, Joe got saved. And if he wants to go study with Scott Mitchell and Seguin, praise the Lord, he's studying the Word, rightly divided. You know, he'd go wherever, as long as he's hearing the Word rightly divided, you know, preached and taught rightly divided. But for us to say, no, you got to stay here because, you know, we need the numbers here, that would be wrong for me to think that way, for any of us to think that way. Praise the Lord, A, he got saved, and praise the Lord, B, he's studying under a teacher that's teaching him the Word rightly divided. Okay, see the difference?
Yeah.
Okay.
But now what if he would have wanted to go to the local Baptist church?
Well, and see, that's the whole thing about trying to pull him back under bondage.
Yeah. Yeah,
why would he want to go back under bondage, as in Galatians 5:1 there? Stand fast, therefore. That's what we need. Joe, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, Joe. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. You don't need to go back under that religious ordinances. Matter of fact, if you literally take the context, let's keep reading. Verse 2, Paul, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he's a debtor to do the whole law, all 613 of those commandments. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. We through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? That's what happened again, time after time after time, everywhere Paul went. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?
Back in
Back
in Acts, that's the ones that were following him.
Yeah. The ones that came in behind, exactly.
Yeah, those Jews.
That's what I mean. This is a pattern that just repeats after time after time after time. So, think about that when you're reading the book of Galatians. It just, when you can go back and grab the whole context of what was going on when he wrote this letter, you go, oh, that's why he said that. Oh, that makes it a whole, again, the Bible just comes alive when you put it all together that way. So he would have written this around late Acts 16, early Acts 17 is when he wrote the book of Galatians. The first book that he wrote that is Scripture in your Bible. Okay? So now let's go back to Acts 14. So each of these cities that we're reading in Acts chapter 14, these are the cities that he's writing back to when he writes the book of Galatians. Okay, we left off there. So let's read verse 19 again. Acts 14 is where we are. Verse 19, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now that's pretty strong, stoning him. They think he's dead. Now notice the next verse, 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up. Wow. But he used the phrase, supposing he had been dead. I would suggest to you that that body on the ground very likely
was dead,
as in the spirit was not in that body. It was a lifeless body. Any of you that have seen a dead body, you know. Where were we talking about this the other day? When we first went back to Alabama, and I was pastoring for Barry Hampton, you know, Kim stayed in Mobile. I went back and forth, you know, because her father was, you know, we knew he was dying. And it was only 10 weeks, but it seemed like a long time. But the day that he did die, that he did pass on, I had left the night before to go up to Montgomery because it was Sunday, you know, to preach Sunday morning. And about 5 o'clock in the morning is when he passed. And Kim said when she opened the door, she knew just looking at
him. That's right. That was Monday.
That what? Yeah, okay. And we were, yeah. And just looking at her father, you know, and she was seeing him, obviously, every couple hours. And it was, she had seen him at 2 in the morning. Then at 5 in the morning, he was, there was the body, but it was obvious he was dead. And that's just the point of all that. My point is, these people, when they looked at him, he was... It was a lifeless body. Now, keep your hand in Acts 14 again. Go to 2 Corinthians and chapter 12. So the book right before Galatians, 2 Corinthians. Paul is going to refer back to this verse we just read in Acts 14. Now, he writes 2 Corinthians. This is the last Acts epistle that he writes. And he writes it in Acts chapter 20. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Now, that's Paul referring back to when he was stoned in Acts 14, 14 years earlier. Okay? So there he is talking about Acts 14, verse 19, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead.
So, how do we know that that's that reference?
The 14 years also goes together. You know, he starts right out, I knew a man above 14 years ago. Well, that happens to be that exact time period.
I'm just curious as to why he would say, I knew a man, as opposed
to... Yeah, refers to himself in the third person. So I don't know why he did that.
He would have been out of his body.
Yeah.
Looking down at it.
That would have been third person. Well,
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I think it's just to keep, you know, it's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. No, it's not about
me. It's not about, you know, great point, brother.
Yeah.
We didn't even read the next few verses, but you'll see how he's really making, and that's the point, how he's really making a point of don't glory in me.
Doesn't want to brag on it.
Yeah, don't. Don't. Matter of fact, now that you said that, we're going to go back and finish that. 2 Corinthians. Yeah, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read the next few verses because it is pertinent. 2 Corinthians 12, so we'll hit verse 4 again. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one, that man I knew 14 years ago, of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities.
Bam.
For though I would... Did I miss one?
No.
No. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Okay? And for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, and this is one you should claim, by the way, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And I love how a couple people out here were even mouthing the last part of that verse there. That's a great passage. Okay, wrapping up here, Acts 14. So verse 20, Acts 14, verse 20. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up, came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, the Galatian churches, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down into Italia. And again, you'll see many of those cities listed in the book of Galatians. And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. That, again, just put a little note there. Remember back in Acts 13, verse 2, it said, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. That was Acts 13:2. Here we are in Acts 14:26, and that work has now been fulfilled. They just completed that ministry. Verse 27, and when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened, here's a key phrase, how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Therefore, it wasn't opened before that, was it?
Mm-hmm.
The answer is no, it hadn't been yet. How he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. Okay? So, we got Acts 14 squared away there. Scribe Brian can take that lesson and put it on the website. We'll be squared away there, but next week we'll pick up Acts 15 when Peter and the 12 get this worked out with Paul. They just make sure they're all in agreement, and on we go with, that'll be the last time we see any of the 12 disciples mentioned in the book of Acts. Any of their names will be used as Acts 15. Okay? Great. We'll take a break.